There's hope for all of us. But before we get to that point, so tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And when we talk about that, then there's always that racial tension, and it's not a black and white thing. It is a Cain and Abel thing. It is a human thing. It is a Adam turning his back on his God thing. It is exactly why Christ Jesus came to the earth. And so it's what we are thankful that we live in a country where we all have rights. We remember those who paid for it. And really, again, it's not that white people are bad, black people are bad. You know, who's the worst people on earth? Hmong people. We are the proudest people on earth. But thank God, if we weren't so proud, we would have all been wiped out in China. So, and yet God saved us for one and only one purpose. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But I'll pick on my buddy over there. I wanted to ask you first, but we were both busy. So, Ming, what position will the Niners pick this year in their first round? Defensive end. Or somebody who could protect their quarterback, right? But defensive end. I want to see Bree against Brady. I want to see two 40-year-olds going at it. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Could it happen? Yeah, and then I'll go for Bree. I think I like Drew Bree better than. Yay! Yes. So, all right. New Orleans over Patriots. That's going to be my pick for Super Bowl this year. Sermon for today, the title is The Meaning of Life. Let me read for you from Matthew 25, 31 through 48 first, and then we'll get to it. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king, this is Jesus himself, talking about himself, so he mentions Son of Man. Now he says, King, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and go to visit you. The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Lord Jesus, our God, our King, our Savior, thank you for coming into the world. Thank you for making life meaningful. Lord, help me, speak to me, speak through me, speak to your children, Lord, that lives may be changed, that we may be able to be called by you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. This is a topic that I have been thinking about for quite a long time. It just so happened that this is the day that I preach on it. It also happened that many people have asked me to pray for them, and it may sound like I'm picking on people, but you know that I do not do that. But on the other hand, if something it's given me to preach, then I preach like it is. And if it's me, then I cry. If it's you, I cry with you. But it is my duty to discharge the word of God. And we do have a faithful God. God is really good. As you know, I've been divorced for quite a long time. And how it happened, whatever happened, it was really, really bad for my children, for my two sons. And I've been praying for reconciliation between my sons and their mother. And for whatever reason, my younger son got to see their mother over Christmas, and then my oldest, they came to Los Angeles for Christmas, but they decided to come again because I'm home, and so they came, and then they decided to go see their mother. So there's finally a reconciliation there. And for them, she's married, but I'm so thankful that God reconciled my children and their mother. All that to say is to say, okay, Stephen and Jens, I need to go home with you before I forget, because I don't have a car, because my son got my call to go see his mother. I could be on the roof. Thank you. Meaning of life, the meaning of life. You know, very rich people die. Very poor people die. Very beautiful people die. Not so beautiful people also die. Intelligent people die, leaving things behind, but in a few years, especially in this day and age, right? You can create something really beautiful or really intellectually great today, and tomorrow it's useless,
right?
I mean, in time past, if you did something good, it lasts a few decades, right? Maybe 100 years even. But with the internet, with today's technology, if you think of something, somebody already thought about it. If you created it, you'll make a lot of money out of it. But tomorrow, it's history. Life, it's really kind of meaningless. I finally got a TV from the church. The church bought it for me because I hadn't had a TV for a long time. And so they said, "Pastor, you need a TV." So I checked out PBS, Nova, actually. And they had a segment on our universe. So the Bible says, and this is what Peter says. Peter says that all universe will be burned up. 2 Peter 3:11-12. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, because in verse 10 he had already mentioned, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Wow. Sounds really bad. And Nova actually confirmed it, that at the center of our universe, there exists a black hole. And a black hole is nothing more than a universe eater. It's going to churn up and suck everything around it into it. And as it does that, everything turns into Einstein's E equals MC squared. Everything explodes at the same time. So our Earth, with the mass that it is, will be converted into energy and explosion, all in the span of a few seconds. Exactly like Peter says. I don't know how Peter knew it, but he did. And when that happened, after that happened, then Christ comes. With what we were just reading, so let me paint a picture for you. Christ is sitting on a glorious throne in his own word. In Revelation, John also sees the same thing. And John 20 says, it is a great white throne. I think they are talking about the same thing. So Christ is sitting on the great white throne to judge. And people throughout time and history come before him. And so he doesn't have to go and say, "Jonathan Wu, did you ever accept me as your Lord and Savior?" He says he separates the sheep. I looked that up. And the dictionary says, because it's an all German word, sheep doesn't have an S. So it's just sheep. So as we go forward, he knows who is sheep and who is goat. It's just like I know you guys. Ah, that's Imam. That's Jonathan. Just like that. He already knows that you are either a sheep or a goat without interviewing you. And I guess this is probably how it happened. Perhaps Jonathan this way. And at the same time, we'll be calling out your name and my name because he's God. He can do all that, all with one voice. And you will hear your name. I would hear my name. And then we would go to the right. Hopefully, right? If we go to the left, too bad, because we will go to a place prepared not for you and me, but for the devil. But we have chosen to follow him, and so we also follow him to that place called the lake of fire. But for those who go on to the right, he would then judge them based on what they have done. And this is because they would have already proclaimed him as Savior and Lord. But then how come there is this little group called my brothers and sisters, and then the other group, the righteous, nonetheless, but they aren't called my brothers and sisters? So, yeah, that is what I said. I thought of it for a long time. Pray for a long time. And I think this is from the Lord. Those righteous missed the day of the Lord. They've been in church, they accepted Christ, but on the day of Christ, they aren't in Christ. Go on to your Bible app. I use Gateway, and you just type in all the words will show up, and then you'll be able to follow. But if you type the day of the Lord, for the most part, it is the judgment day. If you type the day of Christ, it is the day of his coming. It is the day for you and for me. When he comes and he calls you up to go and meet him in the air, that is called the day of Christ. Also type in Christ, or in him. So I told your parents earlier in the morning, we don't hardly ever say, I am in him. So it's a foreign concept to the monk to say, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. What does that mean? I'm in my rice field. I'm not in Christ. But Paul talks about that a lot. He, Paul himself, wanted to be found in him on the day of his coming. And so it finally dawned on me that these people missed the second coming. And so they had to live through the tribulation and until the end when Christ come. And actually, I believe that they missed the 1,000 years completely. And it's at the very end that they are raised back to life so that the goats can then be sentenced to hell, and the sheep, although they missed the day of Christ, they missed the second coming, they now are judged based on whether or not they had compassion on these, my brothers and sisters. And so the brothers and sisters are those that were in Christ when he comes, and they are caught up to heaven, and then the earth is judged, and then they come back and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, all the dead are raised back to life, and human race is judged one last time, one final time. And so I believe that what Jesus is talking about here is at the end of the 1,000 years, And it's the final, final judgment. So what is the meaning of life? So my buddy, their main and his team will draft a defensive lineman. It's probably some guy from Clemson. Humming. No, he doesn't like Clemson. The meaning of life for you and for me is this. Satan stood before God leading worship. He was created, but he was created beautiful, powerful, and all the angels kept saying, man, you are so handsome. Man, you are it. What he was supposed to do is to say, God, you are good. Thank you for creating me this way. But knowing that you are created isn't enough to give you the eternal gratitude that God is looking for. We forget. So for you and for me, it is very close to that also. So when we just started this church, I used to pick on Stephen Wu. And I said, so tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Everybody's off. And Stephen would say, Pastor, don't go fishing tomorrow because they are releasing water onto the river and you might get swept away. And so, all right, Stephen, if you say so, I wouldn't go. And then comes tomorrow, they did exactly that, and the people that are at the river get swept away. And I would say, wow, thank you, Stephen, thank you. Right? I'd be thankful. But then over time, I would say, well, maybe I wouldn't go anyway. So yeah, Stephen, thank you, but no thanks, really. I mean, I didn't go, right? But if I didn't listen and I go, I'm on the river and I got swept away, and Stephen, knowing that I wouldn't listen, comes by with his giant bow and rescue me. Now I would be forever grateful, right? Stephen, if you hadn't done it, I would be dead. Same consequence, right? I didn't go, I didn't die. I went, Stephen rescued me, I didn't die, right? Most Christians really don't believe that Jesus has saved them. I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm divorcee, but other than that, I'm pretty good. And you look at yourself and say, wow, compared to my friends, I'm okay. I'm better than the rest of them, morally. So God owed it to me to give me this life. No, in truth, we are all on that river already. And if Stephen hadn't come by in his giant boat, I would die for sure. Spiritually, we are already dead, but we live in the flesh and blood. And so we aren't grateful to God quite as much as we should. So over time, we forget. When the praise team does really well, we really praise him. When the choir does really great, like today, then we are really uplifted. And we say, God, you are so good. But when we are alone, not sure what God is. Not sure what you do. Not sure what we do. That's what Satan did. You are really good, you know? And so pretty soon he believed it, and then he said, well, then I deserve to be God. So he forgot he was just created. You and I are the same. We are no better than Satan. We are worse than Satan. You have never seen God. I have never seen God. Satan stood before God, and yet he could sin. He could say, I want his throne. For you and for me, though, we won't want his throne because we know we aren't that good. What we do is that we don't take his word seriously. He wants us. We love as if that we have never been warned. We love no differently than those who do not know the warning, right? Let me read again. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So my non-Christian friends, they don't know that. So they live the way they live, they don't know that. You and I profess that is true, but we live no differently than they. Look at life from God's perspective, okay? Don't look at life the way you and I see, but look at it the way Christ sees. As you come, will he or will he not call your name? Because he knows. As you come, he automatically calls your name. He doesn't have to, Jonathan, did you or did you not? Did you really mean it? He knows. He knows. What is the mark that tells you that you really love it? Some simple test. Paul always says that. Test yourself. Test yourself. What are some of the tests? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, Paul really doesn't mean always, right? I mean, well, on the way here, yeah, we just had a fight, and it's really all her fault. And now I can't rejoice. No. Rejoice always. See, if you had rejoiced always, you and your wife would have not have fun, right? It's because you weren't rejoicing to begin with. And so now you had a reason to blame your wife, and you are even further from being rejoicing, see? But if you rejoice always, and if your wife is completely wrong, you would then say, well, honey, you're probably right, but now let me think about it, you know? There's no need to fight like it's World War III, right? Right? Say right. Say right. So rejoice always. But we always think that it's a suggestion. Just a suggestion. I do it if I can. I do it if my wife isn't so far to the left, you know? No, it just simply says rejoice. Rejoice. So we say, God, thank you. You know, my wife isn't perfect, but I'm not perfect either. I thank you for her, right? That's how you will live. The next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You mean when my boss is so mean? Yeah, precisely. When your boss is so mean. Thank you for mercy and grace. Without it, I would have lashed out at my boss. Thank you, Lord. Right? But if you haven't done that, you will say, you know, I got right. I call my union rep right now. I never had a union rep. But no, that is not a suggestion. That is a command. That is a command. In everything, give thanks. Lord, I don't know what I did wrong. My wife is just so upset. But thank you that you will help me see her point. Thank you that you use her to build my faith. Thank you that you use her to make me more like you. Because in truth, I am worse to you than my wife ever is to me. Say, right. 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 So those are not optional verses in Scripture. Those are the things that as you walk before him, and he said, Jonathan, this way. And then you go there. Imam, this way. You go there. If you don't have those, you're no different than the rest of the world. He can't distinguish you from those that do not know his words. So this is a really hard sermon. This is really tough on me. I know it. I know the truth. I just know it a little too late. I thank God, though, that he is working on my children. He promised me that he will bring them back. My consolation is that on their own, they were baptized. They heard about a pastor was going to do baptism, and they said, Dad, we want to be baptized. And yet, over time, they just distanced themselves from actively pursuing God. And I wish I had done it over again, and I would make sure they're always in Christ. Because I know if I'm not in Christ, I know I will miss the day of the Lord. He won't know me. He doesn't have a checklist. And say, oh, is Kong Ching on this list? Is Heidi is on this list? He's just looking for himself. Am I in him? Is he in me? That's all. Is he in me? Am I in him? That's all. It's not hard for Christ to gather all the world to himself. So I don't ever want to not be in him. But we do have a faithful God. If you sin, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. He will forgive you. That is his faithfulness. What we have gone wrong is thinking that even when I'm sinning, he is still in me. He is faithful to forgive, but he will not be in you while you are sinning. And if that should be the moment he comes, you can be sure you are not in him. So it's, again, it's very tough on me because I hadn't done it right, and I want you to do right. with this church, with your church. We want to do right with our children, and we know the world will end. We know he will call people forward. I said earlier, so I will say it again. I said it in Hmong, so I say it in English. How are we doing with our children? Right, so I look back and if I had known God like I knew him now, I would not have done all those things. I would not have tried so hard to get into medical school. I wouldn't have been so disappointed when I didn't get in. But we are all pushing our children to be successful. And we say, but God's word says so, right? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So most scholars will say, yeah, you evaluate your child. If he's good at this, then you build him up accordingly. And that's how you help him. Oprah Winfrey could have said the same thing, right? There's no need for a pastor to say that, right? Oprah is probably doing a better job if that is the case. The whole book of Proverbs is about the wisdom of God. But for some reason, when we get to this verse, even great pastors turn it into a human thing. And that is not what God is saying. What God is saying is that you sit down with God and say, Lord, this is really your child. I am his foster father. Help me to know what you create him for so that I can prepare him for that task. It's not about what skill my son has, what I think he will be good at, but it is all about what God wants him to be. And many times, lots of times, it could be God wants him to use that natural skill, possibly. But at the very least, God wants you to go to him and say, Father, you gave me this son. What do you want him to be? And then we build him up that way. That's what the verse is saying. It's not saying, yeah, he's great at math, so automatically he's going to be a mathematician. It's not that at all. It is, God, he is yours. What do you want him to be? It might be mathematician. It might be something else. But at least ask God first. And that too is something that tells you whether you are going to be a sheep or a goat. Because if I preach to you every day, but I go home, assuming, let's say, pretending, my sons are still little, son, I really want you to be a doctor. You really have to be. He will probably say, Dad, but didn't you say I should do what God wants me to be? Yeah, but being pastor is being poor. We'll all say that. No, I should sit down with my children, if I could. Lord, we are here before you. What do you want them to be? And if you do it early enough, they won't fire you when they are applying for college. You wait till college, right, G? You wait till college and they'll fight you. No, I don't want that. That's what you want. That's not what I want. But if you train them from an early age, son, you are a child of God. God may use your skill, but God may use something else in you that we haven't discovered yet. God doesn't want you to go with your natural inclination and your natural potential, but he wants you to go with his potential. It's never what the eye sees, but what the Spirit sees. So do that with your children. And as for application, I know it is really, really tough. It's about judgment. But it's also great, right? Now you know God is looking for certain characters in a human being, which is one, to be rejoicing always. You can be grateful to God if you are not rejoicing. You can praise him if you are not joyful.
God, I thank you.
You can't even fake it. If your heart is not right with God, if your heart is not in tune with his heart, there's no way you can praise him in such a way that he will say, yeah, that's my sheep. If you are not thankful, there's no way you will be different than Lucifer. If you're not thankful, there's no way you will be different than the devil himself. The devil had everything, skills, power, knowledge. His heart just couldn't be thankful. And so God is looking for a thankful bunch of people to go stand before him. And he is willing to make you his son, his daughter. So this is how I pray. Father, be pleased to grant me to be found in Christ Jesus. Father, I can only be found in Christ if I love his command like he loves his commands. So grant me to love your words, O God. And Lord, I can't love your words if I don't hate sin. So help me to hate sin like you hate sin, so that I can be found in Christ, so that I can be a brother or a sister of Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless.